Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Right now, though, a new All-Ireland Strategic Rail Review published today sets out ambitious plans for halving train journey times between Ireland's major cities and tripling passenger numbers from 65 million annually to over 180 million by 2050. The review is a first of its kind. It's been published via the Department of Transport in Ireland and the Department for Infrastructure in Northern Ireland. We're joined now by Brian Caulfield, who's a professor in transportation at Trinity College Dublin, and he's been looking at this for us. And Brian, you're very welcome to the programme. A lot to parse in the review. As I said, luckily you've sort of done it for us. Do you think we're on the verge of a new age of rail travel, or have we heard this all before?
I hate to be cynical, especially after all of the amazing things that we're hearing coming from Paris, but it's hard not to be cynical on this one. This is great because it's the first time we've done an all-island review. But I can point you to three or four documents that were done in the past 20 years that look very, very similar to this. So it's hard not to be cynical when it comes to the delivery of it.
OK, well, before we get on to the delivery then, what does it purport or plan to do?
So it calls for transformation of rail services right across the island. Some of the most interesting parts are to do a new line between Mullingar and Portadown, taking in Cavan, Clonus, Monaghan and Armagh. And then from there, do another spur across to Derry and then a spur across to Letterkenny and to finally get that interconnection into Donegal. So that's probably the most ambitious part of the project. Then there's, you know, as you were saying in the intro, faster speeds between Dublin and Cork and Galway and Waterford. So all of those are part of the plan. Also, there's a large part of it about freight. So to remove freight trucks from our roads and to put them onto rail. And if all of this happened, it will be absolutely fantastic. It would decrease carbon emissions, decrease congestion. We would have a much better rail network, a rail network that, you know, would be very similar to what we had in the 1950s, but we would have a much better island because of it.
One texter wondering, what they're saying is being able to take a train to anywhere in Ireland would be a great bonus and it would make a huge difference to rail travel. This person saying, try getting from Galway to Letterkenny. That's not happening presently. Is there anything in this to address that, for example?
There's a very circuitous route to get between Galway and Letterkenny. You could do it with interconnections. It's still this kind of radial network out of Dublin, but there is a much better connection, much better connectivity in this map that they've produced.
So obviously this will all cost money. What's the estimate?
They're saying 37 billion is how much it would cost. It's not clear to me in the report if Metro is part of that. If Metro is part of that, that will take up about a quarter of that 37 billion. If Eamon Ryan or the Taoiseach can get somebody to build all of this for 37 billion, they should take their hand off. Because if we got it to cost that much, it would be an absolute bargain.
Okay, there's that cynicism again, Brian, that you mentioned at the outset. Another person says, that's okay, don't apologise. Little mention of Sligo to Connolly rail service in the Strategic Rail Review, says this person. 220 kilometres takes 3 hours and 15 minutes. It's a joke in the 21st century. It was faster in 1960. The people of the Northwest deserve better. Anything to help the people in Sligo?
There are track improvements that are planned from Sligo, but it doesn't seem to be one of the corridors that has gotten a huge amount of attention. It seems to be really on the kind of trunk routes between the cities, really between Galway, Dublin, Cork, Waterford and Limerick.
Okay.
And
although,
Belfast, of course.
It would make a big difference to people living in those cities and in around those cities. And as I was saying earlier, it does mention halving of journeys in some instances. I mean, that would make a huge difference because now suddenly your journey doesn't take the same amount of time as it would take in a car. So the discomfort, we'll say, of taking rail. And I know some people find rail very comfortable. But if you have a lot of bags or for whatever reason you're travelling with small children, a car just seems to make more sense if the journey's halved. Suddenly the rail becomes more interesting, doesn't it?
Exactly. It becomes a viable option for more and more people, and they can leave their car behind, leave the cost of the car behind, and they can use the rail services for holidays, working, commuting, and I said freight as well. It becomes competitive. So the rail network that we're investing in now is competing against the motorway network that we kind of invested in the past couple of decades. It's much faster to get anywhere in this country by car than it is by rail, and I suppose this is what this is trying to address.
So, what sort of detail is in this plan? Do we have any timelines? What are the next steps? Any of that?
That's where it gets very vague. They talk about talking to the European Investment Bank. There is no kind of what I would want to see in a policy document would be timelines, responsible partners, the planning of this as well. So we're planning across two different jurisdictions that have different rules in terms of building rail, also different rules in terms of cost benefit analysis. So none of that's really addressed. And the second last paragraph basically says this is all subject to economic, environmental, equality appraisals and subject to funding as well. The phrase subject to comes up 10 times in the document.
Okay, so as of right now, there is no funding set aside, a plan to go to the European Investment Bank, you're saying, to try and see where that funding might come from. And there's no timelines. Is there even a timeline to go to the European Investment Bank?
That doesn't seem to be in there. There are a couple of projects that are in this plan that are currently underway. So, in fairness to them, so from Limerick to Foynes, that work is underway. The work in the Metropolitan Rail Network in Cork, that is underway. Yesterday, they got planning permission for Dart West. They didn't get planning permission for a depot. So that kind of is mixed news. That is kind of underway. But, you know, getting planning permission, say, for that Dart West line, took over 2 years for that to be delivered. And now we have this headache of where are we going to put the depot?
What about the North-South cooperation then? Would that complicate things, do you think?
I don't think so. I think that the North-South cooperation worked very well in the past when we were building the M1, and we got a huge amount of money from the EU to facilitate that project. And I think there's massive ambition in it, in this line that goes from Mullingar up to Portadown and then, as I said, across to Derry and into Letterkenny. So that's all new rail line. So somebody with a vision, somebody with deep pockets could start to work on that. And I think that's the beauty of the report, is that it does this massive interconnection between both the north and the south.
Yeah, it also reinstates the Western Rail Corridor. I don't think you mentioned that yet, between Claremorris and Athenry. That'll be good news for people in that area. It's talking about more capacity, which I think would be very welcome for anyone who's had to stand on the train all the way to Galway or Cork or whatever it might be, or, you know, the trains are full very quickly. Can you tell us a little bit about the capacity?
So it does plan to increase the capacity, I think, from something like 65 million passengers per year to over 180 by 2050. That then, as I said, in some cases will be hourly services on the main rail links between the different cities. And once you get on to, say, a Galway line or a Waterford line where I'm from, and you have a bad experience and you're left standing for a large part of the journey, that's it. You're probably going to change and probably not try that line again. So by adding in this extra capacity, I think we will improve the service. And one of the things I would say about the history of Irish investment in public transport, we've never regretted anything that we've invested in. The Dart, the Lewis, all of these things, we've never regretted it. We did take them out before, but since we've reinstated a lot of them, we've never taken them out. All we've done is added to them. We just need to do that, and we need to do it a lot quicker. And what the report really needs is a delivery action plan. And I suppose because it's coming towards the end of a political cycle, you wonder, would the next overlords of this plan, will they bring it forward with the same gusto that perhaps it's gotten to where it is today?
All right, well, we shall have to wait and see on that one. But thank you very much for your analysis. That's Brian Caulfield, who's Professor in Transportation at Trinity College Dublin. You can let me know what you think to 51551.